We're reading from Romans chapter 8. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It's God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it's written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
I don't know if you've had a chance to read the back page of the news sheet yet. If you're new to St. Stephen's, you won't know that we have an interview section on the back where a member of the congregation has asked a few questions. And John Dix, who just read this, is the one on the back this time. If you haven't read it, you need to read it. I don't want to denigrate anyone else who's taken part in this survey, but John Dix is without doubt the most awesome person to have ever filled it in. So have a read of it. He survived a plane crash. And he worked as a DJ on Radio Hauraki when it was a pirate ship out on the coastline. He literally worked on a pirate ship. You are the coolest man alive, John. I've decided, it's a celebration today, and in the spirit of last night, I've decided to start a new tradition. And that is that every time we celebrate 100 years, I'm going to tell a joke. It worked so well last night, so when it comes up next time... And I was also encouraged, not only did people very kind give me a laugh and things last night, but I had two people come and say, Jay, we were hoping you'd say this particular joke, which is a joke I told about 3 or 4 years ago at a prayer meeting. There's only a small group of us there. Well, guess what? Here we go. I just want to say before I say this joke, it's a bit political, and it talks about George Bush, and I actually feel sorry for George Bush in a number of ways. This is just a joke as I heard it, so it's not my personal opinion on George Bush or any other people involved in this joke. While visiting England, George Bush was invited to tea with the Queen. We weren't, but George Bush was. He asked her what her leadership philosophy was, and the Queen said that it was to surround herself with intelligent people. George Bush asked the obvious question, well, how do you know if they're intelligent? How do you know if they're the right kind of people to have around you, to surround with you, so that you know, that kind of thing. The Queen answered, I do so by asking them the right questions. Allow me to demonstrate. George Bush watched as the Queen picked up the phone and rang her then Prime Minister Tony Blair. She said to him, Mr. Prime Minister, please answer this question. Your mother has a child and your father has a child, and this child is not your brother nor your sister. Who is it? Tony Blair, quick as a flash, says, it's me, Mum. Correct. Thank you and goodbye, sir, says the Queen. She hangs up and says, did you get that, Mr. Bush? Ms. Bush nods, yes, ma'am. I can't do Texas, but yes, ma'am. Thanks a lot. I'll definitely be using that. So Bush then flies back across the Atlantic, heads back to Washington, and decides he'd better put his own vice president to the test. So he summons Dick Cheney to the White House and says, Mr. Cheney, I wonder if you can answer a question for me. Why, of course, sir. What's on your mind? And Bush poses the question. Your mother has a child, your father has a child, it's not your brother or your sister, who is it? Silence. Cheney kind of ums and ors and finally says, can I have a think about it and I'll get back to you. Bush agrees and Cheney leaves. He immediately calls a meeting of other senior senators, and they puzzle over the question for several hours, but nobody can come up with an answer. Finally, in desperation, Dick Cheney calls up Colin Powell at the State Department and explains this problem. "Look here, son, your mother's got a child, your father's got a child, it's not your brother, it's not your sister, who is it?" Powell answers immediately, "It's me, of course." Much relieved, Cheney rushes back to the White House, finds George Bush and exclaims, "I know the answer, sir, I know the answer, sir, it's Colin Powell." "I haven't finished." And George Bush looks at him, rolls his eyes and says, "Wrong, you idiot, it's Tony Blair." Well, it really is very good to be with you. It feels like a long time since I was last up here to preach. We've been away for a kind of 4 months, and it's very, you know, thanks for all the decorations. We really appreciate that. Especially because of the significance of the 100 years and being able to see people and be part of such a wonderful occasion. And I want to say thanks again to everyone who's put it on. You know, we've been away, and there's been a team of tireless workers who've been doing everything. Thank you very much. All your work has been worth it. It's been a great weekend. And thank you too for those who've come to visit, especially those, as Pete said before, who have come from great distance to be part of this weekend and the different events. It's been lovely to meet and greet brothers and sisters in Christ, people for whom St. Stephen's has meant a great deal over the years. It's been just a really nice time. I'm not going to preach as I would normally this morning. Instead of getting stuck into a passage, the passage that John read, in the kind of way that I would normally, instead I'm going to take the opportunity to just reflect on a couple of things in the light of the 100 years, and I hope you'll allow me to do that. In fact, since I've come back, I've had a few comments about my preaching. There's been a number of comments made that while I've been away, Jeff's been able to get through 2 books in 4 months. And apparently I've been stuck in Hebrews for 2 years. Well, I've taken those comments on board, and if you'll look at the back page, next week we're looking at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Did I say take it on board? I meant ignored. I've ignored those comments. But we're going to take a step back and just think about the 100 years and what that means and God's faithfulness throughout it. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, it really has been a lovely, special weekend, and we thank you for this opportunity to think of 100 years of faithfulness, your faithfulness to us. As we think about our own lives, as we think about the lives of those around us, as we think beyond our experience of St. Stephen's and what's gone on in the past beforehand, we can see your faithfulness at every corner, at every twist and turn. We thank you for bringing us through. And I pray that now, as we just spend a few moments reflecting upon it, that it will lead us to have more confidence in you, more love for you, and a desire to serve you more effectively in this world. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things I've always thought is important in life is taking a moment every now and then to pause and take stock. Do you agree? I think it's such an important thing to do. Life can get so busy or structured or routine that everything becomes kind of automatic. It becomes all-encompassing. And we end up just doing. We end up just doing what we've always done, or just doing what we've got to do, or just surviving, with little chance for reflection or appraisal. But it's so important every now and then to pause for a moment, to take stock, think about where you are. Think about where you've come from. Think about where you're going. Jamie and I do that every year. We try and get away from home for one family holiday a year, Akaroa or Hanmer or something. And part of what Jamie and I do on that holiday is to intentionally, deliberately pause and take stock. You may do something similar in your own life. We think about different aspects of our life, and we try to think about it intentionally. So we'll look at the children. And we'll think about what's gone on this year for the children, what's worked parenting-wise, what hasn't worked, where do we want things to go, knowing ultimately that we're seeking to prepare them for life without us. So we think about bedtimes and reduce them. And we think about how we instruct them in terms of the Christian faith, what we want to encourage them in over the next year, discourage them in, what we're doing well as parents and what we're failing time and time again. And then you move on from parenting, you think about finances. How are we using our money? What are we giving and to whom? Does the amount need to change? Do we need to stop here and give here? Is it, you know, are we saving? How are we spending? All those sorts of questions. And then lifestyle. Are we being lazy and living too much for self, or are we working too hard and need to make different priorities? Are we making enough time for each other as a family? Or are we being kind of selfish and inward looking? Are there commitments we should be taking on, or some that we should be dropping off? And so on and so on and so on. And it means that hopefully we're not just drifting, existing, not just consumed by the present or living the unexamined life, but we're trying to be purposeful, proactive. It's such an important thing, or else you just do without purpose, without intention, without real meaning. And of course, the danger of simply existing in the present without pausing to look back or look forward is that when the present is hard, it can be overwhelming. Often it's the pausing to remember what's come before and examining our hopes for the future, where we're heading, which gives us the confidence and the strength to keep going in the present. But if we don't do that, or if the present is like a, you know, the present becomes like a black hole, it sucks all our time and attention and effort. And when the present's bleak, it's why life becomes tough. It's exactly, I think, why so many people are stuck without being able to take a chance to look back or look forward. And I want to say, with all that we've been through in Christchurch over the last couple of years, it makes this whole situation even more difficult. The harder the present circumstances, the more difficult it is to pause and take stock, but the more it's necessary. I think what you and I have been through over the last couple of years on this side of the city is an example of how difficult it is to escape the present, because it's all around us all the time. And you just put your head down, don't you, and just try and get through day by day, week after week, month after month. You almost move into survival mode. And one of the things that shocked the family and I about getting away recently was you just don't realise what you're doing every day. It takes getting away sometimes to see it and notice it and that kind of thing. The thing so many of us have been struggling with in normal daily life over the last 2 years is very difficult. Living in a street where many of the people have left. Being unsure when the next shock may hit. Seeing just detour signs and road cones everywhere and you can't go that way again and, you know, that kind of thing. Not knowing where you're going to be living in a few months or whether the finance will come through to allow it. Worrying about where your children might go to school because the situation's changed. Needing new tyres and suspension, just look at our roads. You know, it's hard. And what it does is it brings a weariness. It brings a tiredness. Without even being aware of it sometimes, it brings a kind of all-consuming nature, and all we see is just getting through the here and the now. It's very hard to pull up and get past the present circumstances. Well, this morning, I'd like us to pause. This morning, I'd like us to think beyond just the present circumstances that we're getting through, surviving through, and pause. This morning, I'd like us to take stock, and the 100 years gives us a wonderful reason, excuse to do just that, to take a moment to look back in joy and thanks. And as Jeff so helpfully reminded us in the weekly word, and I didn't know he was going to speak about this, at the same time that we're looking back, to look forward in anticipation and confidence. Not just being consumed with the now, but remembering the past and looking forward to the future. And this, by the way, is a very Christian thing to do. You know, so far I've only said it's good to do from a kind of life point of view, and I am not a life coach in any sense of the word, but I do think it's helpful for us as individuals or families, but it's actually something that God sees as important and calls on his people to do. He sees this as very important, taking time to pause and remember and look forward. It's been a critical aspect of being part of the people of God for thousands of years. It's something that God desires for us and from us. Have a think about it. Once a year in Old Testament times, the most significant festival for the Israelites was what? The Passover. And what was the Passover? Once a year, the people would stop. They'd pause. They'd take their eyes off their present circumstances, whatever they might be, and they'd look back to the incredible rescue that God had provided them in bringing them out of slavery out of Egypt. They would remember the incredible plagues that God had wrought, the superpower that he had humbled, the rescue that they'd enjoyed. And it was designed, that pausing and remembering that, to renew them. They were reminded of the power and faithfulness and love of God. And that was to give them confidence for the future. Do you see how important that is? Goodness me. Never again with balloons. It's causing me heartache. It's not a good thing. It was to give them, do you see? It was to give them a bang. It was to stop them just being focused on here, to remember how good their God had been to them. And that was to give them confidence and perspective for the future. That was to remind them, you can trust the promises of this God because look what he's done for you in the past. It was a promise for those Old Testament Christians, one day the Christ will come and God will rescue his people. This pausing and remembering allowed them to rise above their present circumstances and reorient themselves, reevaluate their lives. And God instituted this regular annual occasion for them for their benefit. Do you see that? He knows exactly what we need as human beings because he knows what life in this world is like. Well, then we move to the New Testament. And we find that the Passover is essentially replaced by what? By communion, the Lord's Supper, Eucharist, whatever kind of phrase you want. By the Lord's Supper, another remembrance ceremony, which is designed for the same purpose. To help us pause, to help us stop and consider what God has wonderfully done for us in the past. The gift of Jesus' body and blood, given and shed for you and I, for our forgiveness, to save us. We're reminded when we pause to reflect on that of God's love and determination to do anything that it takes for you and I, even the death of Jesus to rescue us. And then our eyes, when you look back and you see what Jesus has done for you on the cross, our eyes, as Jeff talked about in the Weekly Word, must automatically travel forward because he saved us, not just for now, but for an eternity, a perfect eternity with him. The new creation that's described in the book of Revelation, without sin or tears or sickness or death. And do you see that turning back and remembering what God's done for us in Jesus and then being reminded of the promises that are ours, that have been won for us in Jesus, that fundamentally changes our perspective on the now. When we remember what God's done for us, when we really pause and reflect on his love, on the sacrifice that he went through for us, on the lengths that he went through for us, together with the promises that he's assured us of for the future, that makes all the difference in the world for the way we live now. It doesn't make everything perfect. Nothing in this world is perfect, but it does make all the difference in the world. The life and death of Jesus changes everything. The life and death of Jesus means that this life is not just a random accident, that your circumstances are not just chance. The difficulties of this world will not be the last word. You and I are not just victims of circumstance and luck, because behind everything stands the sovereign God who's given us Jesus and will one day bring us to be home with him. That is the truth, which as we pause and reflect on it and think about it, and I pray that we will, all of us, that's the truth that should reorient us and help us reevaluate. Standing behind everything is the God in charge who's rescued us in the past to ensure our eternal future. Verse 28 told us that John read out to us, didn't it? In all things he is working for the good of those who love him. That may not be always automatically apparent. We may not see it. But the God who spared not his own son for us has promised it, and we can trust him. And so today we pause. We take the opportunity to remember 100 years and all that our parish has been through. And today we thank God for 100 years of the good news of Jesus ringing out in this part of the city through this church fellowship. Today we rejoice in the faithful service of so many people in so many ways, year after year. Today we thank God for the meals shared and the fellowship enjoyed. Each one of us here today has got our own memories and incidents and groups that we're so thankful for that mean such a lot to us. But more importantly, today we look back and see what God has brought us through. That was in that presentation, if you were here yesterday afternoon, that Andrew, Carol and James brought yesterday. Talked about the wars. I didn't live through the wars. I don't even think about that. But St. Stephen's came through the wars. But it's not just wars. Down through the years, there have been depressions on a global scale and in the individual lives of different parishioners. There's been personal tragedies. There's been family struggles. There's been sickness and barrenness and wayward children and sickness and death of loved ones. There's been earthquakes. Through it all, God has continued to be faithful to us. And that will never, ever change. He will never forsake us or let us go. And every now and then we need to pause and remind ourselves of that. Looking back at the cross and looking forward with a confident, assured hope in the promises he's made for our future. He hasn't let us go. He will not let us go. Those incredible words at the end of Romans 8 are wonderfully, perfectly true. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? And then he admits that those dangers are real. As it's written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But then he answers the question, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the truth we remember as we pause and look back today. That's the truth that we should have had the balloon popping to underline. The faithfulness of our great God. That's the glorious reality that we're reminded of when we stop just focusing on our present circumstances and we look back and we look forwards. And it's that truth that inspires us and energizes us and sustains us through the difficult times now. I know that many people here today are tired. How could we not be? But in the midst of our present circumstances, I pray that our 100-year celebrations will give us cause to pause and put it all in God's eternal perspective. Jesus says, come to me, all who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Are you weary and tired? Jesus and Jesus alone can give you rest. And that's not a platitude, it's not a kind of empty, pithy phrase, it's truth. Why is it truth? Because nowhere else can you find that rest. It's Jesus and Jesus alone that gives us confidence and assurance for the future, and that's the only thing that can bring true rest. As I close, it struck me yesterday at the end of the afternoon session when the video was played. Lots of you will have seen it. It showed so many pictures and clips of the St. Stephen's Church complex coming down, and it was quite moving in lots of different ways, and I still miss our buildings. And I thought to myself, it really is quite odd to be celebrating our 100 years without any buildings, without any reference points, if you like, or without a home. But then I thought, no, that's a silly way to look at it, isn't it? That's just the present circumstances I'm focusing and not the spiritual truth and reality behind it. Because the truth is, it doesn't matter what buildings we meet in. Remember, Jesus said it doesn't matter where you worship as long as it's done in spirit and in truth. And we realise the loss of buildings, while sad, is not the crucial thing. And we haven't lost our bearings because Jesus said, I am the way. He's the one who sets our course and keeps us anchored. And of course, there's no way we've lost our home because our true home is with the Lord and the new creation. Nothing has changed from an eternal perspective. Our lack of buildings, I think, in a strange way, helps point us beyond the here and now to the one who lies beyond our present circumstances, the one who sacrificed himself for us and will one day take us home. It reminds us that all we need is Jesus, and it allows us to be thankful in him. St. Stephen's has been a wonderful church family over 100 years. It's why the weekend's been such a joy and why so many people are here and have been at all the different events. But it's only wonderful because of the faithful God who stands behind it. And I pray that pausing and remembering this morning might help us all to take heart, to reorient, reevaluate, and rejoice and our faithful God. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the chance to look back. It's such an important thing you've given us down through the centuries, this task of taking time to look back and remembering who you are and what you've done. And as we do that this morning, we're so thankful for the Lord Jesus. We're so thankful for the night before he died, the one who came, "If it's possible, take this cup from me, yet not my will but your will," went through with it so that we might become yours. We thank you that you loved us so much that the Lord Jesus didn't spare himself and you didn't spare your son. But through that wonderful sacrificial act, we've been made your children and our eternal future is guaranteed. And I pray that as each of us do go through difficult times in these coming days and weeks and months, because nothing's going to change very quickly, I pray that you would help us be able to pause and look back with thankfulness. And that in doing so, we may have confidence and assurance for the future, knowing that you are our faithful God. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.